and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I prayed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night.
Good evening, all. Let's start with God Bless America.
November 11th, the 21st anniversary of the armistice of World War I, this then is the record of those who said they had no more territorial ambitions. Czechoslovakia annihilated, Albania invaded,
is the number you have just heard. And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land.
night.
No.
White with foam. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
That song out of Yip Yip Yap Hank 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Robert, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I had myself on mute.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we unmuted you.
Thank you. Welcome, my fellow Americans, friends, and citizens of this re-inhabited republic for the United States of America, circa 2010. You're listening to the Republic Roundtable, our 29th week, this January 26, 2012. I'm your host, Robert Zuluaga, and our producer is Janine Stewart. As you know, the purpose of and the goal of the Republic Roundtable call is to bring to the body politic of the Republic rotating updates from each branch of national government and from the free states, the counties, and the assemblies, as we collectively strengthen the cords that bind us as we grow stronger in structure, purpose, and clarity within the law forms that undergird the de jure representative Republican form of government that our founders, or our forefathers, our great-grandparents and great-great-and-great-grandparents have fought and died for down through the ages to keep this flame of liberty and freedom burning from our generation and on to our posterity. Last week, we spoke about imagining what it will be like as we successfully lay the seeds and foundation for our fellow Americans who will in due season join us by the millions as we fill football stadiums, hockey and baseball stadiums, public venues in every state across the country, to welcome them home from years of domination of a de facto corporate usurper who's stolen our destiny and future. Okay, we've cried enough already. Now, we're on the offensive this year, we're on the advance, and now we step through the open door which the Lord has swung open for us. So if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you're excited about what you're seeing in the Republic. A lot of changes going on, huge changes. Exciting changes, and from my vantage point, I certainly see the hand of God directing us. Our guests this week are many. We have a very busy call tonight. We will have our president on,
President James Timothy Turner. We'll have Rick Weiner from Republic Records. We've got a report from Chuck Corkins out of South Dakota, who has had some exciting interactions with the Internal Revenue Service. We're going to have Kelby Smith on the call to talk to us about the EFT program that's sweeping across the country. I'm going to talk to you about an election process, the GO process, a way of selecting leadership and finding and discovering leadership amongst our midst. So if I haven't forgotten anything in the intro there, Janine, I would like to open the call with a word of prayer. And if I can find my brother, Bruce Dietler, I would like to invite you to do so.
I found him. Oh, you did. Okay, great.
I did, yeah.
Well, good evening.
Good evening, Bruce.
God bless America. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come together on this venue. We thank you, Father God, that you do great and mighty things, that your plans for us are yea and amen and settle forever in heaven. We thank you, Father, that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts than our thoughts, Lord. Help us to come up higher. Help us to press forward, Father. Help us to accomplish the vision you have placed in our hearts. Father, bless this call this night. Bless each speaker, Father God, as they would bring forth from their heart that which you would place upon their lips. Father, glorify yourself in each of the free states, Father God. Strengthen us, Lord, that we might be a mighty nation and glorify you. We bless you. We rest in your love and faithfulness. We give you the glory and the praise in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. I have been working for a number of days on a response to a lawsuit that I have, or a response to a status hearing on a lawsuit that I have. And so Janine and I were talking, and she shared something that she forwarded to me, and I would like to share with you all on this call as we get started. Perhaps it speaks to you as well. It's entitled Pushing Against the Rock. There was a man who was asleep one night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had to work for what for him he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. This the man did, day after day. For many years he toiled from sun up to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of an unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind such as, "You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it," and stuff like that, thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man even more. "Why kill myself over this?" he thought. I just put in my time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough. And that he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he said, "I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have never even budged that rock a half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing?" To this, the Lord responded compassionately, "My friend, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back brown, your hands are calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient, to push and to exercise your faith and to trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, I will now move the rock. This was an unknown author. And for those of you who this speaks to, and to you, Janine, I say thank you. Okay, well, let's get started. I would like to open the call with our president. So, President James Timothy Turner, I invite you to call. What exciting things have developed this week that you'd like to share with us? It's just, boy, hold on to your seatbelt.
Thank you, Robert. Janine, I appreciate all that you do. You both work very hard, and I appreciate that very much. And sometimes it feels like we're up against the rock and it's not moving. But the truth is we're making great progress. There are many things going on. In fact, we're working so day and night trying to keep up with all the things that are being developed in the Republic right now. I'm sure we'll get an update on how many states we have that are documented now. It's getting very close. The states have really responded and started bringing things together, and I'm very thankful for that. We have our court system is being put together. We're working on all of that now, and I'm very excited about that, how it's coming together. And we're already starting to remove cases of people that are in desperate trouble. We're able to come forward and help many of those folks now. So enforcement is underway. And so, you know, we're just beginning it, but it's going to be great. There are just so many things that we're doing. I don't even know where to start. But anyway, the Republic is moving forward. We're gaining strength every day. We're gaining a lot of people. People are joining. We filmed our first documentary this week over 3 days, three long days. We did our first documentary. Looks like we're going to have about 4 or 5 hours of films. We have some training classes we're developing where we can do like 15 or 20 minute videos. Anyway, I apologize. My yapping dog is at it again. That's what noise you're hearing. Anyway. The videos are being developed for training purposes, so we can share those with the states and let them, when they bring people in, they will be able to get a quick update on what the Republic is all about, and we can have uniform training across the country. So, well, there are a lot of things going on. We're very pleased with the video. It's being edited now. It'll take 200 or 300 hours of editing work to get it finished, but it will be sent around to all the states, and whoever wants a copy can get a copy. We'll be distributing this widely across the world, not only in this country. And it gives. We had about 30 people from around the Republic, from all over the country, came in, and they did a wonderful job. And we had some, although ABC did not show up on Sunday like they were supposed to. They did try to come Monday, but we canceled our appointment with them until they agreed to sign a contract where they can't demonize us. We had intel that that's exactly what they plan to do. They're doing a series that is negative against the sovereign people of America, and they were going to use us as part of that to give us a big black eye. So when we found out about that, we canceled our engagement with them. They breached the contract anyway when they didn't call us or come like they were supposed to do on Sunday. So we told them we didn't really want to play with irresponsible reporters that way anyway. They tried several attempts on Tuesday to come and Wednesday, but we denied that, and we're not going to do a series with ABC unless they come into a contract with us to give us the right to edit and approve anything that they put out. And it will be a severe penalty if they violate that. So I don't think that's going to happen, but we've got our own video now. It actually worked out very well for us, and it will be distributed all over the place. And all I can say is ABC missed an opportunity to do one of the greatest stories that's ever been in the news in this country.
You know, before you go on to your next point, I just want to say that I just champion you for being strong and calling the shots in the face of these guys, because so often folks are at the effect of the media. The media comes and they pollute whatever story any way and twist it any way they want. I just really champion your foresight to enter into contract with them to make sure that they are not able to take advantage of the information.
I appreciate it, Robert. I have been trained in media relations. I was trained in college for public relations, and I have had a fair amount of media experience. But in this case, dealing with the big dogs, that was out of my league. So I called on professionals and got some consultation from some professional media people that really love what we're doing in the Republic. And actually, we brought them in, and they helped us with the film, and I look forward to working with them some more in the future. And so they help protect us as well. So, you know, we got some good folks out there that are helping the Republic now. We're being recognized, and we have a number of sources around the world that are coming forward and helping us now. So things are getting better, and we're having better interactions with many groups around, even in the government and in the country now, as well as abroad. We have a tremendous amount of interest abroad in the Republic, and that's about to escalate. So things are moving forward quickly. I'm not going to tie up a lot of time. I know we have a lot of guests tonight, but I'm very excited about what I see going on. And like I said, we've been working day and night trying to keep up with all the things that are going on and being developed. And so I look forward to seeing some more of these things unveiled to the public. And thank all of you for your hard work and dedication, because it's you are the ones that made it happen. We just did our small part, and the people made this happen. And I'm thankful that the people stood up and actually tried to and have helped us bring this government together.
President Tim, I would like to introduce three areas with short questions to help our members and help Americans understand some of the quick changes that are happening here in the Republic. The detractors are trying to take it and twist it and instill fear in well-established members. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to open up the line to yourself, to Rick Weiner, Jeff Smith, and the Speaker of the House, Mark Lounsbery, to, as each of you feel appropriate, to just address these issues. Let's do it briefly, because we do have a lot happening on the call. But I wanted to quell some of the anxiety that has surfaced this week in a large way. Is that okay?
Hey Robert. Robert,
yes,
this is Rick.
Yes.
I got to go ahead and board the plane now. So,
okay. You open it up
and
then.
Jeff and those guys can handle it, so we'll see you.
Oh, okay, very good.
Still handling it there, Brother Rick.
And he's gone. All right.
Sure, Robert. I was planning to do that tonight anyway before the call was over.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, then do you want to lead out? And then,
it's the same issues that you're going to talk about, but we'll talk about yours anyway.
Okay. Well, and you can add any that I miss. The first one I want to talk about is the anxiety that folks have with the languaging on your lawsuit, that it says James Timothy Turner et al. And sovereign people of the Republic for the United States of America.
Right.
The concern is that they are named, that a subpoena could be had, and all the database of the Republic would be surrendered to the court. And then the scare tactics are FEMA would come in, round people up, and put them in FEMA camps. So
well, let me explain something to the people that they don't seem to understand.
Okay.
I did not put you on the lawsuit. I put the sovereign people of America. Who does that express that is? Does it have anybody individually named on that? in a lawsuit, you have to make, actually, you would have to give me a power of attorney and make a letter of presentment to be added to this case. It would have to be an actual act, voluntary act on your part to be added to this case. The reason I listed it that way was not, it was to bring you under an umbrella of protection, and it worked. Just this week, actually, there's been some investigations going on in the country, and just to give you an idea of where you stand with the agencies out there, I've got a very good friend, known him for years, FBI and a state police agency came to see him this week. And they asked him if he was in the Republic with me, with Tim Turner. He said, yes, I am. I've been with him since day one. And he said, well, we have some questions we would like to ask. And he started asking questions. And he said, well, I don't understand these questions. They don't apply to us. And they said, that's correct. It applies to people who have pulled away from the Republic and appear to be doing something different. They said, we do not have any issues with what Mr. Turner and the Republic are doing. He said, but there are some of the people that were involved with the Republic that have pulled out, and they're supporting other things like the Magna Carta and the Articles of Confederation and sending documents to The Hague and things like this. These people we're concerned about. And that happened just this week, folks. These agencies are not after you if you are in this Republic. They don't have a problem with what we've done because it has been absolutely lawful. The people I talk to, the people in the Department and Justice and the FBI from time to time, and I don't talk to them every week, but periodically we do talk. They email me and call me and just check on the progress of the Republic. They don't have any issues with what we've done, and their own words. And my whole assembly met with them once. And they were convinced, like I had been telling them, that they don't have any issues with what we're doing. They do have issues with what some others are doing, and they are investigating them very, very hard right now. They've got a very active investigation going on some of these folks. So what we've done has been lawful. You don't have anything to fear, and there's nothing going to happen. We're not going to be rounded up and put in FEMA camps. Some others may be, but we're not going to be, because we are recognized. We have countries around the world that will step in and intervene for us right now. All I have to do is pick up the phone and call them, and I have notified the military of this, and the military has no issues with us either, except to say that there's more in the military for us than there are against us, and that's what they said just 3 or 4 weeks ago. So if you're operating in fear, I'm sorry. You need to talk to the Creator and let Him help you with that. But you have nothing to fear from any of these agencies. Actually, many of them like what we're doing. They know there's a problem in Washington. There was a poll taken just a few weeks ago. Over 70% of the people in this country don't like what's going on in Washington. So they like what we're doing for the most part. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in Washington likes what we're doing. They don't. But the majority of the people are in our camp. And so just be aware of that. You don't have to run around in fear all the time. If you're running around in fear, you need to talk to the Creator and get your relationship right with Him, and then there won't be any fear. But
well,
we're
President,
doing what is just and lawful and right.
Well, President Tim, to reinforce your point, what I think I'd like to do is bring on Chuck Corkins to talk about his recent interaction with the IRS to just underscore what you've said, and then we'll bring you back on to follow on.
Yeah, I hear that too. I've not heard from him.
Okay, so Chuck Corkins, if you're unmuted, you have the floor, sir. Tell us your story.
Am I unmuted?
You are unmuted, yes, sir.
Well, my story is like this. A week ago tomorrow, I went to the local Internal Revenue Service office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I went there for a different reason, because we have been turned on to an A for V process that allegedly works, And we were given the instructions on exactly how to do that from an IRS agent in an office in Missouri. It doesn't seem to be working in the time frame that we were told that it would, so I stopped over to the local office to see if they could help me out. The agent at the front, or the clerk, I should say, at the front desk had no idea what I was talking about. So he went and got his supervisor, and she came and talked to me and said, "Well, what is it, sir, that you want to do? You want to buy treasury bills?" I said, "No, I don't want to buy treasury bills," and I tried to explain very briefly. Said, "I don't have any idea what you're talking about, but somebody in the back can help you." Next thing I know, there's a guy standing behind me, and he's the guy that straps the weapon to his ankle. And he asked me to come to the back, my wife and I. He escorted us into the conference room, and I asked him about the A for V. And by the way, he told me that was all a bunch of phony baloney several times. He asked me if I knew Tim Turner, and I said, "Well, I don't know President Turner personally. Someday I'd like to, and I will, but I know about him." And he had a description of him, and I said, I don't believe that to be true at all, sir." And then he asked me, "Do you know about the Republic?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Are you part of the Republic?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he began to ask me a lot of questions. And 2.5 hours later, I left his office. And during that time period, he gave me the old waving the hands in front of the face thing and told me, in no uncertain terms, "We have absolutely no problem with what you guys are doing." He said that repeatedly. And during the following time, or through that time period, I pretty much gave him a seminar or presentation on the Republic. And at one point, it was actually kind of funny. He asked me something about the long-term plan. I can't say it verbatim. And I said, "Well, first of all, sir, you will be out of a job because the Internal Revenue Service will no longer exist." And he said, "Well, how are you going to get your money?" And I said, "The committee is working on that, have plans, and are working on plans for funding and paying for the cost of government. And one of the major things will be a sales tax and probably other fees and tariffs, but not an income tax. We won't be penalizing people for working." And he said to me, "Do you think you'd have a job for me?" I said, "Well,
beautiful.
We might be able to consider that." But I said, "You'd have to take an oath to a different government than you've taken an oath to now." So basically, that's it in a nutshell. I thank you very much for the opportunity to share my story because it was a good one. When he first asked me back there, I was a little nervous. I'm thinking, you know, should I just kind of like say, yeah, that's okay. I really don't need to talk to you and leave. And I thought, you know, this is stupid. He's asked me back here. I'm going to go ask him, and we'll see where this thing goes. And he led it right into the Republic. I did not bring it up. So with that, I thank you, and I yield the floor.
Wow. Thank you, Chuck. Mr. President, do you have a response to that?
Yes, I'd like to add one other thing. Thank you, Chuck, for sharing that. It's the first I'd heard of that, and I appreciate you bringing that forward. I've talked to many people in the agencies, law enforcement, at all levels, and I have the same response. They know what we have done has been done lawfully. They don't have an issue with that. The only thing they were ever concerned about with what we did was violence. The agent, the lead agent, his name is Les Brown, is the lead agent for the investigation on the Republic. I talked to Mr. Brown from time to time, and he explained to me my first meeting. He said, "Mr. Turner," he said, "I am well studied on these issues, what you're doing." And he said, "In all the years that I," and he's very, he's been with the department a long time, the Department of Justice a long time. He said, "In all the years that I have been studying and working in these movements out here," he said, "this is the first time it's ever been done right."
Wow.
He said, "Nobody else ever did it right." He said, "But y'all did." He said, "And as long as y'all stay on the path you're on, you'll never have a problem with us." He said, we don't have an issue with what you're doing." He said, "The only thing that I'm here for is to make sure that you're not going to be violent and do a violent overthrow. I said, no, we don't have any intention of doing anything violent. I said, we're trying to help the people in Washington that want to work and take care of their families. I said, we're not here to hurt anybody. And he said, as long as y'all do that, we will never have an issue with what you're doing. He said, we kind of like what you're doing. He said, we wouldn't be surprised if we got a pink slip any time because we know that they're broke. So they understand what's going on. They know what's going on with us. And they understand that we are going to be a force to deal with. I mean, it's going to be here, and they're going to have to work with us. And they're willing to work with us. I've not had any resistance to that at all. So I don't see any issues where we have any issues with any of the federal agencies at all. I've just not had that experience. And I've talked to many. Another thing I wanted to bring forward was that just a few weeks ago, it's been a month or so ago, we had a reporter from the Southern Star newspaper that saw that we were having a big meeting out here at our office and had about 50 or 60 people there. And so he was up in the parking lot taking pictures and photos and trying to figure out what was going on. All he had to do was come knock on the door, and we would have invited him in, but he wanted to snoop around outside like reporters do, I guess. And so he left the office, and he went down to a local restaurant, and one of our guys happened to be there. He's in the Republic. He's been a member for a long time. And this reporter started telling all about these gun-toting patriots and how dangerous we were, and we were cop killers and all this kind of foolishness that he had heard. And so this gentleman that is in our group stood up and dressed him down pretty good in front of the whole group of people in the restaurant and told him he shouldn't be telling lies when he don't know what he's talking about. So they got into an argument. So, well, the guy got mad and he called the FBI office to report us, like he was supposed to be doing the citizens a favor, I guess. Anyway, when he called the FBI told him, said, yeah, we know all about the Republic. We don't have any problem with them at all. In fact, we work to help them. And so he came back. The guy came back. He was so impressed with what he heard from the FBI that he came back the next morning and apologized publicly to our friends in the Republic, publicly in that restaurant again, because they have coffee down there every day. And so he made a trip down there the next morning and publicly apologized to him and told him, "So hey, the FBI told us that y'all are all right." And so, you know, that's the experiences we've had. I've had no negative experiences with any of the federal agencies at all. And so I think your concerns, you got people out there that are trying to stir up those concerns and create fear and all this kind of stuff. That's all they're doing. Is stirring up fear. And if they can get you to doubt and get you to fear, you'll walk away and you will miss out on the greatest blessing that you ever were able to experience in your entire life. So don't let these naysayers worry you or run or cause you to leave this Republic, because there's some great things going to happen this year.
Oh, I totally agree with you, President Tim. I think we've satisfied that anxiety out there. I'd like to invite the deputy secretary for the Department of Commerce to pose the second question. Bill, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Bill Dobek.
Yeah. President Turner, I get asked from time to time what I know about, you know, the funding that you're all working on. And, of course, I'm not at liberty to give out any information. But basically, people are wondering if they're going to know the terms and the conditions under the contract and what those terms and conditions might mean to them.
Any agreements that we come to, I can only negotiate with the funders. Everything that I come to negotiations with has to be delivered to Congress. The whole Congress has to look at it. They have to debate on it, and they have to agree with it before I don't have the authority to do any agreements without the agreement of Congress. They will see everything. It will be openly given to Congress for them to look at. And they will determine whether we do it or not. I have no authority to do that.
I'd like to invite the President Pro Tem of the Senate, Jeff Smith, and the Speaker of the House, Mark Lounsbery, to weigh in and to add to what you're saying on this, Mr. President.
Robert, this is Mark Lounsbery, Speaker of the House.
Good evening, Speaker.
Good evening. I appreciate the opportunity to update everybody on what's happening in Congress, and I would concur in discussions with the President that it's absolutely the case that any financial negotiations or arrangements or deals that are made will all go through Congress. They'll be they will probably go through the Banking Committee first, because there's a lot of people on there that have already been studying a lot about this, and they're very well prepared to address the specifics, and they'll able to be able to go through it and then bring that to the rest of Congress to make them abreast of it, and then any other discussions and debates can ensue there before any vote is taken.
So please, if you don't mind, the reason that I have to have a quorum of the states is for just that reason. I cannot go and do any kind of agreements with anyone until Congress approves it, and that's why we're required to have a quorum of the states, because I can't do it without it, and that's what our holdup is right now. I cannot move forward until we have that quorum.
Well, we've lost Rick Weiner to an airplane flight he had to get on, so we don't have an update on where the states are and where we are in that process. Perhaps, Janine, you have something that you could give to us at this time. If not, we can, you know, follow that up next week.
I think it would be better to follow up next week, because Rick has some information of the work that he and the President have been doing with states that he's not been able to debrief me yet. So I think we'll follow up with that up next week, please.
Okay. Well, let's go to the Senate then. I've unmuted you there, President Pro Tem, Jeff Smith. Hello.
Hello, this is Jim Geiger, President Pro Tem of the Senate.
Jeff Smith
is actually the acting Pro Tem when I'm absent. But thank you for having us on the call tonight. The Senate is responsible for approving treaties that the President may by chance get into when he's dealing with foreign entities such as the funder. So I'm not sure what form the legislation might take when it comes back to the Congress, but it may be in the hands of the Senate to deal with the issue of the funding. Right at this point, I don't think we're quite clear as to what form that's going to be in. I yield.
Thank you, sir. Okay, very good. We have, Bill, you have one other question that we want to bring resolution to here, and then we'll move on with a call.
What question is that?
Well, I thought we had three questions that we wanted to resolve that came from the...
We talked about the database thing, so...
Yeah, the database is the other one. If you could talk, Mr. President, Speaker Lounsbery, and those who are involved with the collecting of data and the collecting of personal information, can you talk about that in the context of the features and benefits that that presents to Americans who join the Republic, and the plus side of it? We've talked already earlier about the anxiety side of it. So people who are ready to join the Republic, what can they look forward to, and what are the pros, and what's the vision of where the data is and where that data collection process is?
Well, I do know that we do have a very good professional team working on the security of our data. We have redundant systems, and we do have Rick Rios is actually a professional at security. He actually is the chief of security for internet security for a very large banking system. Actually, it's a credit union system, and he is the one that helps with our internet security. And we do have the top security that you can get. on our database. However, there's nothing 100% safe as far as I can tell. So we have redundant, isolated redundant systems to back it up. So we do have we have quite a bit of security on our system of data to keep it from being invaded.
Okay, Speaker Lounsbury, from the state level, the integrity of information in each state, what is Congress doing and talking about in terms of, I know that you've passed a few resolutions with regards to the basic disclosures from leadership. Can you talk about what the House and the Senate are looking at in terms of security and the separation of the information individually by the states and then collectively?
Sure. Thanks, Robert. There's a number of issues at stake here from the very foundational nature of names and addresses and so forth that are related to documenting that I am a part of this republic. If I want to experience the benefits of being a part of this republic, then somehow that has to be documented that I'm a part of that republic. There has to be consent that I am a part of this societal compact, a part of this group, a part of this nation, a part of the republic. And there's going to be a lot of benefits from things dealing with getting land patents and allodial titles to investment opportunities, perhaps utilizing property that you have to help with the development of treasury system. And there's all kinds of different benefits that are going to be available to those who move back into this constitutional government, not the least of which is much more freedom, much more liberty, and a just court system. You know, all of these things are important, and they are all dependent upon documenting that you're part of this republic. So that's the purpose of all that documentation. And if people are afraid, you know, to become a part of that, then that's one issue. Now, the other aspect is the personal information, some of the additional things, and keeping that secure. One of the things that the Congress has been talking about is that, for the most part, only the documentation for those who are in public office is being sent and recorded right now to the Congress and to the Republic Records Bureau. There will be, and we do have a committee right now, an ID committee that's finishing up some work in making a presentation to the Congress regarding passports and a passport ID type system. And I know that they're recommending, because I've been in discussion with them, they're going to be recommending that the states do their own individual IDs, whereas at a national level, there'll be this sort of a passport ID system that showed you're a citizen of the nation as a whole. And so there will be that aspect of keeping state stuff within the state, and only those that want to have certain information in order to receive IDs and so forth would be housed at a national level. And the reason it needs to be somewhat housed at a national level is for the purposes of travel and identification, going abroad and going across states and going around and having that information being available in a database that law enforcement and so forth could identify. So with that said, but conceptually, the idea, the concept that Congress has is to keep as little data as possible at a national level and keep as little data as possible at a state level, and only which is necessary to afford the benefits or the protection of the people within those particular venues. And it would be up to the people. The people that want those protection or want that benefit would be offering that information for that protection and for that benefits. It's not taken from them. It's by their consent. So with that said, that gives you sort of the background. And then we are also talking about developing secure databases and so forth. We have a number of people right now that are that have, like the president had mentioned, that have been working on that at the Republic Records Bureau through the executive branch. And Congress will have to do the same thing at our level as well. Of course, a lot of that requires money. The more secure you want it, the more money you have to spend at it for the most part. And right now, we don't have a lot of that. So a lot of it is just theoretical and in discussion right now. But that will definitely be a part of the overall process.
Well, I know there's a number of us who are looking at gearing up for how are we going to handle the influx of membership, because I feel it, many of you feel it. We will be moving on steroids here. We will have a huge influx into the Republic, and handling that volume at a local level, at a county level, at a state level, and at a national level is going to be a really huge learning curve for all of us. So if we start thinking about it now, we'll save ourselves some growing pains. They're going to come anyway.
Yes, it will. And that kind of leads into, and I don't know if you want to go into that at all, but the DSR that the Congress has been working on, which is part of that process of identifying with the Republic and identifying your rights and specifically with the Republic so that you can benefit from that protection and from those that association with the Republic. And we are also looking at the potential of bringing a lot of people in quickly, and how are we going to do that securely, and how are we going to keep from bringing terrorists into the Republic and those types of things. So the Congress is looking right now at some ways of being able to sort of do an intake, kind of an intake form where people could bring in, put their request to become a part of the Republic into the system, let's say, and then they would be sent to a local assembly, to a state that they live in order to go and get more information about the Republic. And they could potentially become part of the Republic on a limited basis. And this is what Congress will be discussing. It's not set up yet, but these are things that are being talked about in the Immigration Committee. Some way to possibly be able to facilitate a lot of people that are interested in partaking in the Republic and yet still maintaining some aspect of security. So you could bring thousands or millions of people in that wanted to experience some of the benefit right away and yet still have a time frame then when they could get more educated, find out exactly more what they're getting involved with and what their rights and their responsibilities would be. And there could be some checking out and some due diligence so that if someone is from another country, let's say, they wouldn't just automatically be brought into the Republic with full citizenship. They would have to perhaps go through a naturalization process because they're just visiting from another country. So all of those things would have to be looked at and carefully gone through. But we have to create some kind of a system that would allow a large people to come in rather quickly, but then have a statewide, countywide, assemblywide process put into place that would enable them to begin the processing of all those people to bring them in effectively into the Republic.
Well, you've touched on this the DSR, and I know that it's a source of a lot of lively discussion, and I don't particularly think we have the time to do that tonight, but I very much want to have that discussion in an open format to let people really express their different sides and points of view on that, to flesh it out. So if we can invite you on that topic back on a future call, I would really welcome that.
Okay.
President Pro Tem Jim Geiger, did you want to weigh in on the subject of where we are here?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. If you remember back a couple of months ago now, we were in the budget process, so we actually have those kinds of security items in the budget. So it's not like it hasn't been thought up in very much detail. So we have made plans for future expansion of the security system of the Republic. And the Congress itself, like in the finance committees, budget committees, they are working towards taking the bull by the horns, if you would, they're not going to be forming out the monetary system to some other entity like a Federal Reserve System. They're going to take their constitutional responsibilities and be doing that in-house. So whatever that entails, and that's to be worked out in that committee and through the Congress. So the other item that came to mind while we were doing this discussion is on the, as far as the DSR goes, is I think what Mark was alluding to there was essentially a two-tier system where you have an entry point for somebody new coming into the Republic, and maybe a second tier essentially where they want to identify themselves officially in some manner so that they could get a maybe like a Republic identification card or something, so the de facto would know who they are and not to mess with them. I think that would be something advantageous for them to have. And so, of course, they would need to sign some kind of document to get to that point. I think that's kind of all I wanted to say on that. I had some other thoughts, but I'll let you move on to another topic.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you both. And I would like to bring those out in greater detail in a forum on a future call. We're going to move on to Kelby Smith, who is the Secretary for Housing and Urban Development. And he's doing some very exciting work across the Republic. I have to start with a disclaimer to say that I'm going to get Janine in to read it because she has it probably in front of her. So, Janine, would you like to read the disclaimer here?
Certainly, Robert. Let me get to that real quick. It says, thank you. The views and opinions of the Republic Roundtable guests offering legal remedies or commercial processes do not necessarily state or reflect those of the Republic for the United States of America. Before attempting any remedy or process, exercise due diligence. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Well, with that, Firecracky Kelby Smith, sir, you have the floor. Good evening.
Good evening. Wow, I've never had a disclaimer go off before I talk. Wow. That's great, though, and it's fact. It's true. You need to understand that this has nothing to do with the Republic. There's just a lot of great people out there like Fred and Nina Gutierrez who have incredible ideas and who have personally had success with 75 million of discharging, where they actually have the title deeds and reconveyances to property of both cars and homes in their possession. So I started looking at that 4 or 5 months ago, and you know, people that were involved in it were having a 30-50% success rate on the first round, and where they would send in the what's called an EFT instrument, and it was using a private side of a closed bank account, and it was discharging the debt. And so 30-50% of them were working up front, and then the other 50-60%, 70%, you'd have to take the lender or creditor through a process in which you hold them accountable to the discharge, to the set-off. And when I realized that just even 30% at that time were working, I was flabbergasted, and I started looking at the lawful mechanisms behind it. And being in the Republic, you understand a lot easier than most people coming from the outside going, okay, what's going on? Within the Republic, we understand the bankruptcy of 1933. We understand that all the debt and land and people were pledged against the corporate debt of the United States, and they had to develop remedies and mechanisms that would allow for them to basically have a back door. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that people needed to have a back door. And since you cannot create any new debt inside of a bankruptcy, the what they did was, I'm going to, you know, allow for Nina and Fred to better explain this. They have a series of seminars going around the country But the bottom line is people have a remedy right now, and Fred and Nina are going around the country teaching this remedy, and it's not going to be easy. And I told people that, and every time I stand up in front of a group of people, I said, look, this is going to be work. It's absolutely going to be something that you gotta fight for, because they're not going to make this easy. But the funny thing is the second the instrument is written and sent off, if that instrument is not sent back unblemished within 48 hours via certified mail, the law says that instrument discharged, set off the debt. So what Fred teaches in mainly his seminar is, how do you walk him through an affidavit format where you give him a series of letters over a 90-day period of time building up to a point in which you're going to do an affidavit and potentially either receive a lawsuit or file a lawsuit against them and slam the case shut. Because really, once you get this into a law format or into a case where it's been filed on the public record, they don't want anything to do with this. They're, the 15 cases out of 570 discharged instruments, the 15 cases that actually went to court, 14 of them have already been dealt with, done in the favor of the person that wrote the EFT. So now you can hear out there that, sometimes I'm hearing as of recent that it's happening right away or it doesn't work. And when somebody says that to me, I step back and I kind of shake my head, because they don't understand the law. The law says it's discharged within 48 hours if you haven't gotten it back unblemished. That's just the law. So the trick really isn't a trick, other than the fact that you just got to follow it up. And why am I endorsing it? Well, because working with the president and Tom and the Republic Records Bureau, there's two mechanisms to a home loan. The first is the title, and the second is the note. What Fred and Nina are teaching is how to annihilate the note, get rid of the note. And what the Republic is going to be bringing to the table on short order is a very quick and easy way to accept the deed and put a land patent on the property, which annihilates the lender from title. So if you were to go into court and have a standing, you would have hit them with basically a 1-2 punch. And the 1-2 punch hits them both on the title and the note. And, what you're doing is you're taking an asset away from a lender. And what they're seeing now, and they're starting to realize, uh-oh, no longer do we have a paying client who's keeping our house together, but we're having to hand the title deed and the reconveyance over to that client, which pulls that property out of their asset pool, and they can't hypothecate it and make money. And so they're starting to fight it more. That's absolutely happening. There are people that are upset with Fred and Nina for teaching this, and it's because it's not as easy as it once was 3 months ago. But I'm going to tell you right now, I am in conversations with Fred about how we can constructively take 1,000 of these at a time and put them in a single action where it would be a 1-2 punch on 1,000 properties at once, where Fred would be the person or real living man appearing in court. So there are many things that are in discussions. I just got off an airplane. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah, or actually Provo, just south of there. And Fred is doing a seminar this weekend, starting tomorrow. And for my own disclaimer, it's you can learn this whole thing for $25. It's a simple donation to Fred and Nina. And you can come out for a day, and you'll hear how to get it accomplished. They're holding Tuesday night calls, and they're giving it away for free on Tuesday night. If you want to get that information, you simply go to setoffdebt.com. That is their website, setoffdebt.com. And you'll get a listing of the seminars that are coming up. They do have an advanced seminar. It's for about $195 donation. The advanced seminar takes care of a whole lot more than just the EFT aspect. It shows all kinds of ways of constructively taking care of IRS issues, taking care of court issues, different things that are happening, lawsuits and so on. Fred has annihilated over $200 million in third-party debt collectors, people that have issues from attorneys. I got to tell you, he's got a simple letter you need to send this attorney. He'll give it to you for free. As a matter of fact, he's creating a DVD this weekend, and he wants you to pass that out far and wide. So if you want to really understand something, why I've kind of gotten excited about this is because I'm watching resolution for the first time ever in my life on a mass basis where people are getting equipped. Debt resolution, debt relief, getting rid of the attorneys that are pounding them, and it's all because one couple has done some homework and they've lived their entire life off grid per se, and they are an exciting couple to watch, and I'm proud to know them. Janine, I got a bunch of questions here from you in Skype. Do you want me to really address them, or what do you want me to do?
No, Kelby, I just wanted to make you aware of that, and I also wanted to share briefly, if I can, that we had a couple of people concerned that the Republic was promoting Fred and Nina's seminar, and that's truly not the case, but we are promoting, Kelby, your First Amendment right to speak about it. And I just wanted to make you aware of it, and that's why we read the disclaimer.
Well, thank you, Janine. And when you called me and asked me to be on the show, I thought to myself, wow, there's probably going to be a backlash. And I want people to know something. This is from my heart. This isn't about money. I constantly am watching people get help for next to nothing. It's cost just me, myself, just to get out here and see and be a part and support this. I'm $1,000 right now between car, hotel, airplane, food, and so on. And it's cost our president hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last year just to travel the country and speak freely. And he's had to give up his business because he's had so much of a controversy of promoting something else other than being the president, and he doesn't even get a salary. For me, Janine, and for the people that are listening, I am 100% behind Fred and Nina. I am the secretary of HUD first. This does correlate to some of the responsibilities of what a HUD secretary would do, but this does not require the approval of Congress. This is a private activity, and it does Republic. It does support people coming together in a private format. It does support Republic growth because you're bringing people together that are having success and are talking about the Republic. Now, we don't promote the Republic at the events, but I do find out how many people are in the Republic. They do generally know me, and we have private conversations off to the side about the Republic, but this is not a Republic event. This is a private event. We get invited to private events, and they basically host them. And my excitement is because I'm watching debt relief. I'm watching widows, families that are about to be homeless, people that are in their elderly age being booted out of their property. I have to talk all day long on my phone because of the stress levels that are happening out there to try to find remedy and relief. So if people get upset about us in the Republic, in our private capacity, trying to help others, I'm sorry, I don't mean to upset you. This, in fact, is the most powerful solution and resolution that I've seen to date, and they 100% have my support. And so I hope that clears up some of the issues that there might be.
Janine, did you have any other questions you wanted to pose to him?
No, Robert. I'm good with all that. Thank you.
Okay.
I think the president unmuted himself, so I think he may have something to say.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to thank Kelby for sharing with the Republic these things as well. I support what Fred and Nina are doing, although, like we say, it is not a Republic function. I have great respect for them. I consider them very good friends. They love the people, and they're trying to help the people. And I have the greatest respect for both of them. And those of you that don't want to get out and help your neighbor, don't get in the way of us doing it, because that's what the Republic is all about. There's some folks, and unfortunately there's some in this Republic, it wouldn't matter if I was giving out $1,000 bills on the street corner, somebody would complain about it. And so let's get with the program, folks, and let's get behind these things that work, and let's help our fellow man, because that's what God put us here to do. And I appreciate Kelby's hard work. I know how hard he's working, because I'm doing the same. And we're both trying, doing our very best that we possibly can to help as many people that are in desperate situations across this country. So pray for us, help us, but don't get in our way, because we're going to do it with your help or without your help. We're still going to help the American people.
You know, I just want to underscore how important and how timely this intervention and this education and this assistance is. 2 days ago, I went to the doctor. I went to a chiropractor to get an adjustment. His assistant, himself, and his landlord, that's three people in one building, all facing foreclosure, all of them. And they have no clue how to handle it. I have friends of mine who I would have to this week had three or four people call me to say, Robert, what can I do about it? It is accelerating. And maybe you want to speak into that, Kelby, because this is for keeps. We are right at the cutting edge of something that's for keeps, and somebody has to step up to the plate to this and have courage, and you're right on the front line of that, Kelby.
Well, Robert, when we've talked about this before on many calls, when you stand in a courtroom and you watch a judge who knows how the note instrument works and understands that these notes are prepaid, and then he tries to get an elderly woman who is 85 years old to recontract in a court of law and boot her out of her property. To me, that's a moral issue in this country. The people that generally speak up and have issue with these public venues where we talk in private capacity are not on the front line. They don't take the cries that happen and the help me that happens every day, all day long. Let me give you one example. I had a lady and a gentleman who's helping her called me up about 2 weeks ago, and he's probably listening to this call, and the president referred this lady to me through Tim Pledger, our security chief. Well, I spent probably 8 phone calls over 2 days, and I got a hold of the paperwork, and this is the gist of it. She's in a court case, and she said a court officer came to her door, knocked on her door, and said, you need to be out by Friday at 9 a.m., and it was Tuesday. So I never heard of that before, because to me it's not lawful due process. Anyway, I coached them. I told them what to do. I got a hold of their paperwork. I looked at their court case. They didn't have a court case for 5 months, or a court hearing for like 3 to 5 months. I forget what it was. I think it was in April. And I said, listen, this guy is a fraud. I went and looked him up on the internet, and he is a court officer. He really does work for the court, but he's also a private investigator, which means he works for the banks.
Mm.
So I told him, you need to, just in case, empty the house so they don't lock it up, because I don't know the level of fraud they're willing to do. But I was certain that it was fraud, and I was certain that he was going to go knock on the door and try to boot him out. And literally, my advice to him was, stand there and do not give them your home unless you see a signed court order by a judge with the judge's signature in the signature spot where it should be, where a judge would sign, and you read it carefully, and it said eviction and time and place and date. And he said, okay. So this court officer shows up to evict an 85-year-old woman and with a state trooper. And this guy argued for 2 hours with the state trooper, where is the signed judge's order? And I'll tell you this, that state trooper and that court officer left, and they didn't have that property. And it was only because somebody knew that you have to have a judge's signature before you get booted out of a house. The point being is when life becomes so desperate that people are willing to steal from the elderly, we need to hit hard and hit back. And I don't mean that in a physical format. I mean that in a realm in which you got to be smarter than them. You got to gird up your loins, and you got to put on your helmet, and you got to put on your breastplate and get out there and fight a spiritual battle and a physical battle of paperwork and learn the law. And that's why I'm promoting Fred and Nina, is because they know the law, and they teach the law, the basic fundamentals of who you are, and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and truly what it means. And when I saw Fred and Nina for the first time, I promoted them to meet the president. We actually went out to Vegas, and we had a private meeting for a few days with Fred and Nina and Tim and Rick and a few other people to clear the air so Fred and Nina could meet president, and they could come together, and boy, man, they hit it off. Next thing you know, we're in a week-long meeting in Vegas where 25 people are talking, and we're developing law ideas and strategies and support systems for the Republic, and now it's like a month later, and we are in full stride assault of lawful assault, meaning paperwork-wise, against tyranny for the people in the Republic. And we've created a seminar schedule promoting Fred and Nina all over this country this weekend. We're in Utah. It starts tomorrow morning. If you miss tomorrow, don't worry about it. There's a DVD that'll replace it, but get your butt there on Saturday and Sunday. We're in Arizona next weekend. We're in Nebraska the weekend after that. I think we're taking one weekend off, and we're going to Kansas, Kansas, Chicago, Maryland, and I don't even remember. To be frank with you, I'm having 10 conversations a day about that kind of stuff.
Well, they can find that on the website, right?
Yeah, people, just go to setoffdebt.com and get pre-registered. The seminars are all almost full, and we are going to be looking for venues that are larger, so we can accommodate more. But as of right now, many of these seminars are full, so get your information in there ASAP, please.
Very good. Kelby, thank you so much. God bless you and Godspeed in what you're doing. I know that I've got challenges in that regard myself, and I am learning as fast as I can along the way here.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Okay, Janine, you get to come on again with another disclaimer, because I'm going to talk about the GO process.
Yes, thank you, Robert. And what I want to say about this is we are not endorsing GO. We're not asking anyone to become a member of GO. What we're doing is looking at the tools that they've created for our assemblies to find undiscovered talent and leadership amongst us. And with that, Robert, I yield the floor to you.
Thanks, Janine. I'd like you all to imagine. I'd like to imagine forward when we have seated the government, we've gone through our interim governments, and we're looking for leaders across the country, those who are going to step up to the plate and take over the running of our country. How are we going to find them? Are we going to do CNN and Fox News advertisements? Are the richest among us going to surface to the top and see who can convince the most people that they're the right person for the job? Do we see that that's the way that – do we think the old model of a Democrat and Republican Party, a model that allows cronyism and a model that allows big moneyed interests to impact the electoral process. I would suggest that there's another way. And I have been involved personally with this process go for a couple of years. I've actually facilitated training of the GO process in my state to a number of different groups. And so I'll give you a thumbnail of what they're doing and how I feel that we can really apply this to what we're doing on a county level, on a state level, and then at a national level. And not only will it bless us with discovering where our talents are amongst each other, but we will have an authentic mechanism to bring leadership from the grassroots up to the surface. And it will be the people saying so at each level. So here's what it looks like. GO was started by a guy by the name of Tim Cox. Tim was a Dell computer whiz who was one of the instrumental folks in developing, taking Dell computer to its fame. And he's a systems guy. And he was watching television one day, jumping up and down and shaking his fist at the television, bemoaning the politics that are going on. And his teenage son said to him, he said, "Dad," he says, "you're always talking about creating systems to fix things. Why don't you just fix it?" So on that challenge, he spent time to develop a model that would work, that would be an authentic way of bringing leadership, replacing the leadership in the House of Representatives. His goal was to replace the 435 de facto members in the House of Representatives with common folks who come out of Averageville, USA. Doesn't mean they're average folks, but out of Averageville, USA, who have skill sets and who have common sense and can keep things on track constitutionally. Well, so he's been about this. He tried to effect change in the 2008 elections, didn't have enough critical mass to make it go national. And from what I see of his statistics now, he doesn't have enough critical mass to make this happen on a national level. However, since I first started teaching his concept and facilitating, and not teaching it more, it's really an experience. A GO circle is an experience, and many of us in Arizona have tried it, and we found good success with it. So what I discovered was that this mechanism can be applied easily to the Republic, easily to each of us at our own kitchen table, at our local assembly, on a county level, at each of the respective counties can do these processes in their counties where you have your own membership, and those then can get pooled for the general election in your state when you're looking to replace representatives, senators, or where you need a pool of folks that the governor can call from for some of the cabinet positions that are required in each state. So you will find in your email that you received for this call, you'll find a series of documents. And if you have them there, I'm going to just invite you to look at them. You've got one which is like a Republic talent, county talent search. That's a PDF of a letter that I wrote to Arizona, to our members here in Arizona. And I'm suggesting that you can just replace the names Arizona and put your own states in there in terms of the concept and get what I'm saying. Then there's two other PDFs, and they're the front and the back of the scorecard and the vote card. So what you would do is you would print those two. You'd print them ideally onto the same piece of paper, one on each side. Make yourself enough for your group, enough for your – you can make it – if your group's just in your living room, you can make it for them. If it's larger than that, you can make the voting card and the scorecard for them. You will find that on the vote card, there is 20 questions, and there is – six columns to the right of those that you would put for each of the members in the group to put their names or their numbers. So you select a team captain, you break yourself up into groups of six, and you then answer these questions. You sit quietly without any comment, and you answer the questions for or against, and there's 20 questions on the page. You don't worry about if your answer is right or wrong. You just put what you think about it. It's not complicated. Although you might not know about something, give it your best guess. So you each complete the questionnaire and you circle either for or against, or I will vote, or I'll vote for, or I'll vote against. You just circle the one that you choose on that page. And you select a team captain from the six of you. You count off 1 to 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You write at the top, if you are number 1, then you would put 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 across the columns. If you're number 4, you would put 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. And so you'd have those numbers across the top. Then, when everybody's completed answering the questions, you'd go down your list, and you would start, if you're the team captain, and you'd read your answers. You'd either say for or against. Anyone that you are against, you put an A in your column. You don't put a 4. If you're for something, you don't put anything there. And you just fill your column on the right hand of the questions. You put an A wherever you're against, where you circled an against. And you'll have maybe 1, maybe you'll have 20 againsts. And the next person does his. And so you read yours, and everybody in your pod, everyone in your group, writes down your answers in your column. And if you were position number 1, they would go to their 1, and they would put your answers under that column. You go to the next column, you get to the next person. So each person calls out to the group their questions that they were against. When you get to the end of it, you will have each of these columns filled up with each of your responses. Now the fun begins. You have a timekeeper. You have a way of keeping order with it, and you start to pair off. So person in position 1 interviews position 2, 3 interviews 4, 5 interviews 6. And you take 5 minutes, rotating 2.5 minutes each in kind of a fair exchange between you. You look at your two columns and you discuss where you differed. So if you have an against in the first question, which is, will you vote for or against amending the Constitution to exclude people with a law degree from serving in the House of Representatives? If you had an against and the other person had nothing there, you'd want to talk about your answer to explain why you felt your position was that way. Then the other person would answer of why they felt their answer was that way. You will discover each other in this process. You're going to discover what each other thinks. You might realize that you voted for something, but once the person says why they're against it, you go, oh, yeah, maybe I would change my answer on that. You don't change your answer, but you would just go, oh, I get it. Okay. So as you work your way, then after 5 minutes, you change. And number 1 interviews number 3, 2 interviews 5, and 4 interviews 6. And you work through a cycle, and all this is laid out on the website for GO. There's an explanation on how you facilitate one of these groups. And you go through the process. The whole process takes a couple of hours, so you can count on this. If you're going to do it at an assembly meeting, you can count on it taking up the major part of your education session. And you then have the opportunity to elect the 2 best folks who represent all of your views, or who you feel would best represent you for your group of 6 people. So you vote for a number 1 and you vote for a number 2. There's some other steps here that I haven't covered, and you'll see in it when you turn the other page over. But you can get to those details down the road here for brevity. I just want to give you a thumbnail sketch. So you vote for and elect 2 folks who you think represent you best. If you did this in a group where there's 30 or 60 of you, you're going to have 5 to 10 groups. And so you're going to have 2 surface in each of these groups who reflected the best for each of you in that group. You're also going to discover in the other 4 people in your group the skill sets they have. You might find one person in that group is a really deep thinker. They love to research. You might find somebody else who's very organized and they're good at keeping records and they're good at keeping details. You might find somebody else who's a great salesman, who's got just a really good way with people. You might find somebody else who loves to be a behind-the-scenes support person. as we share with one another in our groups, it's going to help us bond. It's going to help us create a greater community amongst ourselves as we begin to know what skill sets we have amongst ourselves. I would encourage you to take notes of what those skill sets are amongst yourselves so you can capture it for future. You're then going to have those, let's say you had 60 people at your assembly. You're going to have 10 groups. That means you're going to have two from each. You're going to have 20 people. You're going to have three pods for sure and another two. So you'll have to be creative in how you sort that out. But you now have the cream starting to come to the top of who you guys are feeling amongst yourselves would be good leadership. That cream can then become six people in each group. They go through these exact same questions. They go through the exact same process, and then they start to interview one another. As they go through this process, they find out what their skill sets are. They find out who best represents them, and then they elect out of that pod the two best candidates who reflect their views. So now, instead of having 20 leaders, you now have six leaders. You see how this process is refining, refining, refining? Now, if you do this in your county, and the county across the state do it in their county, and your central assembly does it in their county, wherever your strongest assembly is, you now are going to have representatives from three or four or five, however many counties you have growing so far, you're going to have candidates and a skill set of people to draw from. I know where in the responsibility I have in the Republic, I need to attract to myself those folks who are skilled to come alongside the work that I'm doing in the Department of Commerce. Each one of you who's listening to the call who has a responsibility where you are need to look at what's it take to duplicate yourself, what does it take to be a leader? And being a leader means you have to be able to encourage other people to come alongside you. You have to have such a way about yourself that you're not being territorial, but you are inspiring and moving others up to fill positions. As the Republic releases, as folks start to flock to us, we're going to need to be organized at a grassroots level to not only have some checks and balances to make sure that the folks who are coming in are of good character. What better way than knowing the character of folks than having these little pods that interview folks in groups of six? You could expand it to groups of 10. You know, you can be creative in how the process goes. But what better way than to find out what the caliber of the folks who are coming alongside you? Not just folks coming along, sitting and watching, but folks actually participating and then discovering what's in each other's hearts and minds. So that's the vision of GO. I personally endorse the process. It's an excellent process. One of our other representatives here in Arizona and myself sat down. They have 100 questions on their website. We looked at their sample form that they have off their website, and we thought, you know, we don't really think that all these questions apply to folks in the Republic. It doesn't breed knowledgeable discussion because we're aware that the de facto is a corporation. The folks in GO are not aware of that. So some of their questions are really irrelevant to where our purposes are. But we were able to glean enough to do the training sheet, and we're welcome for anyone else to add to it, make additions, refine the questions, whatever. But I'm going to encourage you to use this as a model to fill in. We've lost some folks in the Republic. They've gone off and chose to do other things. But this process can certainly help electrify the bonding and the community amongst yourselves and really allow us to move forward with a sure confidence that we've got people who are filling in alongside us. So I think that's probably enough. Janine, if there's any questions that came in, actually, I haven't even monitored the board, to be honest. I apologize for that. I can go there and see if anybody has asked any questions this evening.
It's been a full evening this evening, Robert, and we are 1 minute to our 90 minutes.
Okay.
So I think, if you don't mind, we will close in prayer this evening, and let everyone go and be with their families, and see them next week.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's see. I would like to ask a fellow, and I've never asked you this, so if you say no, that's quite okay. But a dear fellow out of Massachusetts who has just blessed this republic with his dedication for the entire time we've been at this, I'd like to invite Robert Urquhart, if you are willing, sir, to close us in a word of prayer.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invite. I was brought up in a Christian faith, but we were taught not to pray publicly, but I will in this case, because each of you is dear to me. I ask that our Father in Heaven would be with the Republic and be with our President and guide each of our leaders, inspire them, teach them in your ways, guide them on the path that you have set for us. And I ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Bob. I just appreciate you, brother. All right, everyone. Well, God bless. Good night. We will see you, God willing, next week with the updates from the Republic. In the meantime, go out and light the world. We're going to finish off with Elvis Presley singing America the Beautiful.
Oh, for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on me. Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves to rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed His grace on me, and He crowned my good with brotherhood of sea, the shining sun.